concerning family. And this week I've just been pointed in this direction a little bit to talk about this. And I also want last night's Genesean crowned of the year to stand up one more time. Jeff Allen, we're so proud of you. Give Jeff Genesean of the year. Come on, give Jeffrey a big God bless you. Love you. Wonderful last night. The reality of our finances in the home are so real, and as I communicate to people on a regular basis in families, I'm more coming to understand that beyond anything else, that people need somebody that can model family living, how to treat their children, how to treat their spouses, how to handle finances in the home and do it in a godly fashion and discover how this can be a part, not just of a few families, but it can be a part of every family, and how others need people to demonstrate this to them and show them how. That's why I'm just such a proponent of the church, of the people of God, because you have this movement in the house of God. Not everybody is perfect. You know, I get so tired of some people using the excuse, well, the church is full of hypocrites. Yeah, of course. Come on, there'll be one more. I mean, the church is full of broken people who have a desire to move in a way that honors and pleases God. And that doesn't mean that everybody is perfect. And that doesn't mean you have to get it all right before you come. You can come broken, wounded, jacked up from the floor up. And God will embrace you and say, walk this way, come with me, and I'll show you a better way. That's what God's life and living for him is about. That's why we come to church. It's not, you know, when I worked at Home Depot years ago, they used a guy come around, one of the managers, to say, he'd say, hello, grapes. And we'd look, and what do you mean by grape? Because you guys are all clustering together. You're not out touching other people that you don't know. That's not what the church is about. That we got to be some secluded club, that we've got everything right, and anybody that isn't a part of our lives, well, we don't want to have anything to do with them. We are to reach the broken, the hurting, and love them into wanting to become a follower of Jesus Christ. You don't have to believe to belong first. Hear that? You can belong, and then you will believe. Amen. And I'm just so convinced of that. And how we model and demonstrate in our lives is there to help others. And I, you know, you speak to so many people that just are going through different areas and stages of their lives, and how sometimes many of them are having the issues in the area of finances, and finances are one of the major contributors to marital breakups. And if it's one of the major contributors, and Jesus spoke about it more than he did even heaven, then I think that maybe once in a while I have to risk somebody getting offended because we're talking about something like this to help those who really want to know. And when I get up here and I talk about this, I'm not telling you that I've got it all worked out. I don't. I'm still working on it. But I thought, you know, what a great time to talk about this. There are many of the Bible groups are going through the Dave Ramsey book right now, the Total Money Makeover. I've had several people come to me and say, man, this has helped me in this area of my life. I've learned this on this. Even my own son got up, my oldest son, Ben, a few weeks ago, and he talked about he was ready to pull the trigger on, that's probably not a good phrase to use, he was ready to make a step on buying a new house. And he read that book, he took it off my table on a Sunday morning, and he read it from cover to cover on the Sunday afternoon, and he called me up, he said, Dad, after reading that, I'm not going to do it. I don't know if the decision was good or bad that he was going to make, but what I am convinced of is that it had an influence in his life that caused him to make an important life decision. And so this is why we do this. This is why we want to model this. And the word prosperity simply is a Hebrew word. This is so good. Salake. I'm trying to say it right. Salake. And it literally means to move or to push or to be pushed forward. I want you to think about that just a little bit, because many times in my life, I have felt God pushing me forward, even when I didn't want to go. But in little things, him giving me favor, you know, I've told you before, step into line at a Starbucks or a Dunkin' Donuts. Nobody's in there. And then I turn around and I've got a line behind me. That's salake. That's prosperity. It's not just about money. It's about your position and how God allows you to be moved forward, bringing opportunity to you. I was sitting and just thinking this morning the different areas of my life that he's brought great opportunity, not only to me, but to my children, and now to my children's children. But I also am reminded that this isn't something that I just started. This is something that my wife's grandparents started before I was ever even thought about. And because of their obedience, and then because of her parents' obedience, and then because of my obedience marrying her and becoming a part of that lineage, that blessing has come down through the generations, has not only landed on us, but it's landed on our children and on our children's children. Come on, say amen with me on this. This is just me. I'm talking to you. I'm modeling. I'm inspiring. I want to inspire you to believe God for that. And many of you, God has pushed you forward in your home, in your family, in your relationships, in your job, in your business, in your finances. And that with your life, you've had great favor come upon you. You've had opportunities. You've been moved. Things have happened for you that maybe you think, man, I was lucky there. Let me just confirm this. To the Christian, there's no luck. There's favor. There's blessing. Luck is, you know, that's just some, you know, voodoo stuff. I don't know. It has nothing to do. You're not lucky. You've got favor on your life. You've got prosperity on your life. God is pushing you, moving you into a healthy place that you didn't even have a clue you were going to wake up one day and be at. And some are here today, and you're experiencing some of the best days of your life. And it's not just because you're a cool person. Maybe you are. But it's the result of your obedience to God, and maybe even the obedience of a parent, maybe obedience of grandparents. And maybe you're in a place today that you have favor and you're blessed just because you're connected with somebody who has favor and blessing on their life. This is very important for you to understand this. And I'm going to read a little story here about it in just a minute. But I remember when I was a young man, and my wife and I began to give to God. And I remember being on the farm, and there was favor on our lives on things that we did. I'll share a couple thoughts about that in just a few minutes. But just as there's favor, there's also protection against you. Isaiah 54:17, he says, no weapon formed against you shall salake, shall prosper. That means God's not only pushing you forward, he's coming against the forces that would try to push you away from what he has for you. He has blessing for you, and he will not let opposing forces come and take from you what God has intended for you to have. Wow. I just love that right there. No weapon. It's not going to prosper. He goes on to say, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, thou shall condemn. You got to learn to speak out of your mouth against the things that would try to destroy your life. You don't let them just move into your home and take over. You stand up against that. You kick that demonic, evil spirit out of your home, out of your family, out of your lineage, out of your life, and you let God have his way inside of your life and inside of your home. Because weapons will be formed, but they have no power to push you in that negative area in your life. Here, Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word, I'm reading it from the King James, is how I learned it. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper. It shall salake, in the thing where I sent it. Oh, I love that. And then the story, so many people came to my mind. I'm reading the story in Genesis 39. You know the story about Joseph. You know, he had this dream. Be careful, Ryan, telling your dreams. Joseph had a dream, and he told everybody, and they took him, and they sold him. They threw him in a pit. But the Bible says in Genesis 39, it tells an incredible story in a moment in Joseph's life. And the only way I can do it is just to read it all to you. It said Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, Potiphar, and an Egyptian, who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, Salake, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. Here's a Hebrew living in an Egyptian home, totally opposite. The Hebrews were looked at as dirty, useless, no good people. The Egyptians were the royalty of the day. Here, Joseph is in this house, and the Bible says the Lord was with him and prospered him, and he lived in the house of the Egyptian master. And when his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted him to his care of everything he owned. From the time he had put him in charge of his household and all that he had owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. Man, that's so powerful. Your business, your work, where you're at, when the favor and the blessing and the salake of God is on your life, that guy that owns that business, he can be one of the biggest retrobates in the area, but because you're there, God's going to bless him. From the time he put him in charge of his household, all he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. And Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built, handsome, and after a while, his master's wife, she took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. This is the X-rated portion of the Old Testament. He refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. Little boast there. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you're his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day, he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. And she caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand, and he ran. That's a word for somebody. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and he had run out of the house, she called her household servants. Look, she said to them, this Hebrew is brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. And when he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and he ran out of the house. She lied like a rug. She kept his cloak beside her until his masters came home, her husband. She told him the story. The Hebrews say that you brought us came to me to make sport of me, but as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and he ran out of the house. And when his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me. He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him, put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness. He granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. It's one thing to have favor in the eyes of God. It's another thing to have favor in the eyes of the people around you. The warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him salake, success in whatever he did. Come on, everybody in here say, I want that. Come on, say it like you really mean it. Say, I want that. Do you see? Because no matter where you are in life, you could be going through a rough time. You could be going through a heartache. You could be going through a breakup. You could be going through a loss. God has favor on your life. He's going to bring you out on the other side. You're going to be blessed right in the middle of it. You got to stop long enough to see what he is doing in the moment that you're in. You know, I was just going over my notes last night and yesterday afternoon. I begin to think of all these people. Wayne Waller, I begin to think of you. I remember before you got married. I remember how you had felt broken. But there was favor on your life. Come on, how many of you know that Wayne married way over his head? Amen? There was favor on his life. I was thinking about Ronnie and Barbie Thurber. I remember those days. I rode in the tractor with Ron when he was heartbroken, when he was going through what he was facing. But in the middle of that, God had salake on his life and on Barbie's life, and the favor of God, the blessing, the prosperity of the Lord was a part of their life. I was thinking about Jeremy and Tina. I remember Jeremy. I remember in the darkest moments of his life. But God, I remember him being faithful to the Lord and bringing this woman into his life and these two beautiful children that he has, because it's not that he's special, but it's because the favor of God is on. You ought to stand up, Jeremy, wave at him and just say, amen, Jesus. Come on. I could go all over the house here. These people are just coming to my mind. It's not that anything special, but it's God. He has favor and blessing on our lives. Then in the middle of our trouble, he is still releasing something powerful for our future. My goodness, I feel him in here right now. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:10 that when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there's shouts of joy. Proverbs 11:25, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be himself refreshed. Because they have blessing, they have favor, they have prosperity, not only on their lives, but it is on their families' lives as well. 3 John 1, verse 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prospers. This is so much more than a financial thing, because he wants it in our family. He wants it in our marriage. He wants it to be a part of who we are. And he wants to push us forward, because biblical prosperity is having more that you need so you can make an eternal difference on somebody else. We don't just become greater consumers when we're blessed and when we have prosperity, but we give our lives to Jesus, and then we live to make an impact on a generation for an eternal basis. Because God blesses you and I to be a blessing. Genesis 12:2, I will bless you and you will be a blessing to others. That's his calling for every one of our lives. God's desire is not just for you and I to be pushed forward, but it's his desire for you and I, not only when we're being pushed forward, to bring other people with us to also be pushed forward. That's what I want to do. I want to tell you about it. I don't want to model it to you. Nobody's bragging about it. We just want to help those who are lagging way behind. And instead of you just say, hey, I'm way back here, feel bad for me, say, hey, I'm back here, throw me a line and bring me with you so I can walk in this blessing and favor myself. I need it in my family. I need it in my lives so I can help push others. Because when we bless others, God takes care of our needs. Every time, Luke 18:29, I guarantee this, anyone who gives up anything for the kingdom of God will certainly receive many times more in this life and will receive eternal life in the next world to come. Not only when you give and you obey him now and you bless other people now do you get blessed, but God says he's laying up something in heaven for you and I as well. Now, I don't have that all figured out. I don't understand what he's going to do that is going to be maybe different for some than for others. But I'm telling you one thing. The Bible says that we'll receive many times more in this life and we'll receive it in heaven yet to come. God calls you and I to be a conduit, not just to be a consumer, but so what we receive from him can flow through us Stop putting your hope in your provision and start putting it in your provider. Because the more God blesses us, the more he expects us to be a blessing. And not everyone is blessed at the same level. You know, I said it in the early service. Years ago, I went to Africa one time, and there was this person that said, I'm going to get you all these little toys to take with you. I'm figuring they're going to go to, you know, Walmart and buy stuff. And they said, no, we've collected all these toys from Happy Meals, from McDonald's. And I'm thinking, I'm going to take that with me? That's not good. You know, I'm thinking, we got to raise some money, go down. I got to figure out how to ship some bicycles to Africa. I don't know. He said, no, you take these. You won't believe it. So I taken them. I got them in a bag. And to be honest with you, I was going to throw them in a trash bag and trash barrel. But when I got there and I'd open it, I'm telling you, it was like heaven opened up to all those little kids at the orphanage. They were crying. They taking these little 2-cent little toys. They were so thankful for that. Blessed to be a blessing. The Bible says in Luke 12:48, to whom much is required from those who much is given, for the responsibility is greater. I've said this before years ago when I was on the farm, and my father-in-law, the neighbor, came and said, Andy, we don't have enough feed to fill our silo. Can you help us? And he said, sure, we'll help. And we filled that silo in 3 or 4 days. I don't know, it's $5,000-$8,000 worth of material at the time. I asked my father-in-law a month later, did you get paid? No. A couple months? No. 3 months? I go, when are you going to tell them you're not that money? He turned around and he looked at me. He said, have we been blessed? Yeah. He said, do we have enough and still have left over? Yeah. He said, he looked at me and he said, let it go and trust God. My goodness, I wanted that $5,000. Because you know what I was thinking? I was thinking, that's mine. But God said, no, I gave you more so that you could bless them and you still have leftovers afterwards. So for the next 3, 4, 5 years, we did the same thing. And to be honest with you, every year I'm like, ugh. As I look back at it now, it's just God preparing my heart. He's working in me so I can tell somebody that right here today. Because I'm blessed. The Bible says in Psalm 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of the sinners or take or sit in the company of the mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in its season, whose leaf never withers, and whatever they do, salake, prospers, is blessed. Come on, am I looking at any blessed people in the house of God today? So let me just end with these thoughts. I am blessed when I put God first in everything. Proverbs chapter 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crop. Your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. God said, if you'll arrange your life to put him first in everything, you're going to live a great blessed life. We're blessed when I maintain my integrity when it comes, because he's always looking for people who handle what he has given to them well. Always. Somebody tell me this week, it's tax time. People are going to blow through that money as fast as they get it. You know, I've never been in a position where I've gotten big tax returns or anything, and full disclosure, I don't like the government telling me you got to have this done, so I file an extension. I'll do my taxes in July just because I can. I know it's a little rebellion in me. Pray for me. But the idea was that the person said, people are going to get that money. They're not going to spend that. They're going to be in that flow of just burning through that they'll burn more that they didn't even have. Hello? And God is saying, I'm looking for somebody who will take what I have entrusted to them and use it with integrity, so that I could give them more. Psalm 84:11, for the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk blameless. They take care of it. We're blessed when I learn to give intentionally, not emotionally, but have a strategy. Pray, over what God has entrusted to you. Okay, what am I going to do with this? How am I going to handle this? Where does God want me? How does he want me to sow this? 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now he who supplies the seed of the sower, bread for food, and also supply and increase your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Because when you sow, when you give, somebody else is hearing the word of the Lord, and they will give thanks for what you have done. Some of you are sitting in chairs today that someone else paid for, and we're praising God today in this house. Don't ever forget that. We're blessed when I give generously. God, he's looking for people that are willing. Luke 6:38, give, and it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it'll be poured into your lap. For the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Don't forget that. Use a little measure comes back. And then last, we're blessed when we stay and live totally dependent on God, not on our own abilities. I'm looking at gifted, talented, brilliant people. And as gifted and talented and as brilliant and as successful as some are, you didn't get there on your own. If you see a turtle on top of a fence post, you know he didn't get there on his own. 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or put their hope in wealth, which is uncertain. And I said last week, in 6 days, the stock market dropped $6 trillion. You want to put your hope in that? Gone. But he said, put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment and all that we need. God wants you and I to be dependent totally on him. Come on, do you receive that and believe that in your heart today? Prayer people, just make your way down the front. Bow your head, close your eyes with me. I want to just pray with you and over you. For some of you, you're in family dynamics right now that are struggling. You're going through some heartache. Whatever it is, God has a better plan. He's got a greater purpose. He wants to help you. He wants to do a miracle in your life. He wants to pull you out of that water and help you to live for him all the days of your life. For some, maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ. Before you leave today, you need to do that. You just come down. Tell one of these folks, say, I want to give my life to Jesus. Will you pray for me? Spirit of the living God, move in every heart and in every life here today. Have your way in our life, in our future, in our home, in our family. I pray favor. I pray the salake over your people that are here in this house today. If you want to go to another level in that, you want God to help you, just lift a hand right now. Say, God, I want that. I want to live that life. I want to be a blessing. May it be so in their lives today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said, amen. Need prayer before you go? Come on down. Let one of these folks pray with you, pray for you, believe God with you. I love you. Go in his grace. Have an incredible rest of your day.